This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, thanks to my last very special guest, Colin Seeberger of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. You're going to find Colin showing up somewhere in the Maggie Dawn Show weekly lineup because this stuff is just too important. 45 minutes, not nearly enough. It's 900 pages. Yikes. So there's a couple of little current news pieces I want to ask you about, Tom, as we await the arrival of the congressman. But I wanted to ask you the question, is there a particular element of Project 2025 that scares you the most? Because there's one thing in there that I was like, what in God's name is that? And it is these things that they call freedom cities. And here's the thing. Not only does Project 2025 propose them, but so does Agenda 47, which is Donald Trump's official campaign thing. So they call them freedom cities that they're going to put on federal land, and they're supposed to, quote, reopen the frontier, reignite American imagination, and give hundreds of thousands of young people and other people, all hardworking families, a new shot at home ownership, and in fact, the American dream. Which young people? Who decides? Which what? Families? What land? Who's
what frontier?
What? I mean, this is a little spooky. And when Republicans or the MAGA cult says freedom now, I want everyone in their head to translate it thusly.
Yes.
It's not freedom. It means doing away with all federal protections of civil rights, right, and leaving it to the states to decide who to discriminate against. That's what they mean by freedom, right?
Freedom for discrimination.
Yes, freedom
really
for states
about.
To discriminate. That's exactly right. Any particular item that scares you most of all?
Well, on one hand, you know, just like we've been talking about, a lot of it is actually funny because they use certain terms that, at least to make me laugh, like the frontier. I mean, I can't believe that somebody would put, like, what frontier are they talking about? But the scary part to me is, and this goes back to, I've read a lot of history about Teddy Roosevelt. One of the things that he really drove was creating a protected civil service so that they were insulated from the whims of political environments and changes in political realms and everything else, so that they were able to just execute and get done what they needed to get done based on the laws that were passed. And to me, that's the scariest part of this document, is it says that forget what has been passed, forget any norms that we have in our society, everything is open and up for grabs. I talked a lot about we need to actually do better to protect the upper echelon of civil servants from the whims of political employees. Maggie, you worked in government. You know, near and dear to my heart, it's how do you create a culture that allows people to unlock their potential and be able to do good? Just because you're a government worker and you get paid by taxes doesn't mean it's any less of a job than if you work in the private sector, because that job needs to get done well, and it really should provide value not only to the community but to the person doing it. And this whole thing smacks, it just at face value says that none of that effort is worthwhile, and therefore we should get rid of it.
And I'll just give a personal example. Every single person on my staff, I was the chief legal officer from Milwaukee County. Every single one of those people were civil servants that had job protections. Still did the, we were still able somehow to do the work, because you do not want people that feel forced to take a certain position under the threat of being fired, because it's not what their professional integrity would lead them to conclude, right? Like, you want people to be independent and objective. And I'll be honest with you, did that sometimes lead to some pretty heated discussions with me and my staff? Sure. But that was the point. It was good. I pushed them. They pushed me. we came to a place where as an office, we could stand behind a position that we were taking. That was essential, right? And I viewed myself as completely independent because I wasn't fireable by any of the political entities or political electeds. But that was just, that worked well. Is it difficult? Yeah. But it's supposed to be. That is what I think gets missed. It's drain the swamp. No, you're making it the swamp by making everybody a stinking loyalist. Nobody wants sycophants and yes men and women that to comprise 100% of the key leadership roles in government. You want the disagreement. That actually helps because it requires people to win arguments based on good analysis, right? Like, this is
totally
a good
agree.
Thing.
Yes. And one of the most interesting parts of all this, though, is that Donald Trump, in his core element, is incompetent. He's incompetent at being able to follow through on anything because chaos reigns in his brain. It doesn't mean it's still not dangerous, though. January 6th was dangerous, but it was led by a tremendous amount of incompetence, but it still did enough damage and caused enough harm and actually killed people. So when you think about other people maybe coming behind him who have a level of competence, that's where it gets scary. And if you put people in place who have no morals, who have no guilt or anything else, and who want to drive home what they believe is true for what they want to accomplish, that's when things get scary.
Well, and I think, you know, listen, a lot of rationalization can happen, right? People will find a way to justify their actions if they're forced to adopt a certain viewpoint because they'll lose their job if they don't. And it is that ability, that power asymmetry, that you do not want held by one man in the or woman in the Oval Office. Interesting that Kamala Harris isn't asking for us to eliminate Schedule F and federal civil service. Like, why is that?
Yes.
Well, if it's good for Donald Trump, why would that not be good for a Democratic president? It doesn't make any sense to me. Folks, I just wanted to pass along to you all regrets from Representative Clyburn's office. The Congressional Black Caucus had to call an important meeting. So there are a bunch of them that were doing media today. None of them were able to join us in these hours. I wish my best to the CBC and the celebration of Black excellence that's occurring tomorrow morning on the White House Rose Garden lawn. Tom, as always and ever, thanks so much for joining me, my friend. Tom will be back next Thursday in the 2 o'clock hour to talk politics with one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulsowitz. I'm Maggie Dawn. When we come back, it's the 3 o'clock hour, so we're talking money in our segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Don't go anywhere, folks. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network News. Weather and sports are up next.
And he said, no way. And I said, way.
Very cosmopolitan.